Hello, and welcome to Coffee to Close, where we talk to interesting people with passions and pursuits in and around Brisbane, California, that beautiful yet rowdy, fiercely independent town on the border of San Francisco. Our hope is that you will be inspired and that in the process, we will raise some money for our local nonprofits. Sit back and enjoy. I'm your host, Ron Davis.
Hello, today we are with Tom Sewell. Tom is a great friend of mine and neighbor down here from about a block from our office. He is a photographer, but more than a photographer, filmmaker. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. And really nice guy. And I thought I'd have him on to talk. He was just nominated for an Emmy for a commercial. So you know what? Why don't we go back a little bit and just talk about how you came to Brisbane, what it was like to go from being a renter to a homeowner and then getting into the community, and now you have kids, so things change there too, and tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks, Ron, for having me. This is cool. Well, we moved here in 2000. We actually closed on our house on New Year's Eve in 2000. It's funny, Ron, because you're still a friend of mine, and we actually didn't even use a realtor when we bought our home. We actually did it via the library, and that shows about what kind of friend you are. You're still friends with me, and we never even use a realtor, so I appreciate that. You want to comment about that?
Some people do that. And that's all right. I don't think we really knew each other at the time.
No, that's true.
I think if we had known each other, we would have been friends. Maybe that wouldn't have happened because for one reason or another, but I did talk to you about it.
Yeah.
And it's all between friends, so that's good when you can have a meeting of the minds with somebody and be able to buy their house, and it all works out good, and there's no problems, and everybody's still friends, so that's good.
Yeah, we've been here 17 years now, and we had twins 6 years ago, boy, girl, boy, that changed everything, and we love it here. It's perfect. It's close to my studio, which is in the Dog Patch, and close to the airport, so I can get out of Dodge.
Great. Tell us a little about your kids. How are they? What do they do in town that's interesting? Or,
well, they go to the local school. Tomorrow's their last day in kindergarten. You know, my wife's a first grade teacher down in Belmont, and we had a decision to make whether we're going to stay in town and, go to this school here locally, or actually my wife's school in Belmont is a great school, and we could have gotten them into that school, and we chose to. One of my dreams as a father is to be able to walk my kids to school every morning, and I've enjoyed, this year has just been great, and the school's been great, the community's been great, the parents are great. We've made a lot of new friends just based on, first year of them being in kindergarten. They love the park. They are blown away by the skateboard park, even though the people doing the things down there are amazing. My son's totally into basketball, and he loves to go down there and shoot hoops, and then the pool, where we have them in the pool all summer. They love it here. They love it here. Now they have friends. You know, the one thing I noticed about being a new, a parent and having my kids go here to this school is on Halloween, when you walked door to door and, all the other kids are in town and they're saying hi to my kids, and I'm going, that's pretty cool when the kids start to know each other. And now we're really getting bonded to this town because of our children.
It is funny. My kids are 23 and 25, and they still hang out with the kids, a lot of them, from Brisbane Elementary.
Yeah, it's important. We're very lucky to live here.
So you're in the process of trying to think about building onto your house, adding on?
Yeah, that's, right before I got here, I was trying to get somebody to come out and do some engineering plans, and they're booked out. People are booked out through September. It's been a little frustrating to find good help, but we're going to keep, just like anything in life, just keep pushing forward.
Keep it going. You would probably fall into the entrepreneur mindset person.
Oh.
You've got your own business.
I've never gotten a paycheck my entire life, never. I've been self-employed, as long as I can remember.
So tell us about that. Tell us about the photography. How'd you get into it?
I was a average student in high school. Went to college in Marin. I grew up in Marinwood, Terralinda. Went to Terralinda High School, and all my friends went off and did really well in college. I had no aim in life to that point. But I did take a month-long trip to Europe with a friend and a backpack, and I took a camera and he took a camera. Boy, my pictures came out, you know, a lot different than his did, let's just say. And I kind of got the bug on that trip to Europe. And then I decided to go to College Marin, and they had an amazing, at the time, I don't know how good it is now, but at the time, the photography department there was amazingly proficient and inspiring, really, quite honestly. They had the best gear you could use and the best darkrooms we could ever imagine, based on a lot of people with money that donated to the college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge advocate for City College, especially for guys that are gals that are not really sure what they want to do. You know, they got to experiment in a lot of different things. And as soon as they walked into that dark room, they hadn't really looked back.
So Christopher, my son, is taking photography now.
Now? Right.
And there's a guy up around the corner who has a company that shoots pictures of houses for sale.
Yeah.
And he's got like six photographers working for him, and he keeps telling Chris, come on, I'll show you, you know, what we do. Come along for a photo shoot, and I'll show you how we do it and whatever, you know. So I'm kind of hoping something sparks in him to get involved with that a little bit.
It's not really a job. It's really a lifestyle for me. It's like my left arm, you know. And work has never been about, I got to go to work. It's just mm-hmm. in me. It's just part of me. I see pictures, you know, all the time. You know, right now, you're looking pretty good up there, right?
Because then we're on radio.
Exactly.
Radio, podcast, whatever we're on.
It's pretty cool, though.
So then you got into film and doing commercials, and I know you've flown around doing commercials, so...
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is the market has changed to where these cameras that we're buying now, we're able to shoot, you know, amazing 2K, 4K quality video. I got the bug 10 years ago to start getting into cinematography when we were still shooting film. So I'm quite a bit ahead of that game, which just came from the pure desire to want to save more. I guess I'm a pretty good commercial photographer, a lot of lifestyle and stuff. But I couldn't really say everything I wanted to say with a still image. And so started honing that craft. And now with all these different people we can hire, from editors to musicians to, you know, actors, putting all these layers of the cake together,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to have a voice. And even though I'm kind of a shy guy and I don't like to toot my own horn, I'm able to send out some really powerful messages that I believe in. And so finally I have a voice, and it's very powerful and incredibly fun.
Cool. So what's your favorite or your funnest project that you worked on?
That's hard to say.
So what about the mountain climber?
That's what was coming out of me. There's a project I've been working on for about 5 years, and it's incredibly fun. It's challenging. It's a passion project, and we're completely donating our own time and money into this project. But there's a lot of news out right now of a guy, a kid that just climbed El Cap with no ropes in 3 hours and 50 minutes.
Really?
People are saying this is the greatest feat of sports ever. One of the hardest things anyone could ever do. And it's the most one of the most bold and dangerous.
What's his name?
His name's Alex Honnold. This gentleman was actually in our film. And rock climbing right now, for some reason, is incredibly hot and incredibly popular. We are doing a story on one of the pioneers of the golden age of Yosemite. His name is Tom Frost, and he was one of the first guys to ever climb El Cap. And it took them like 9 days, and it took this kid 3 hours and 50 minutes. So there's a correlation there. And there's four guys that are considered the Beatles of the golden age of Yosemite big wall climbing. And that's Tom Frost, Royal Robbins, who we just lost, Yvonne Chouinard, who is now owner of Patagonia, one of the most radical clothing brands in the world, and then Chuck Pratt, who died 15 years ago. So Tom was the engineer behind all of Yvonne Chouinard's ideas, and he is the quiet, humble businessman, and he allowed me to have access to his story. All these other stories of Royal and Yvonne and Pratt have been told, but Tom's story, based on how humble a man he was, has not. So it's a huge responsibility.
That's great.
And it's incredibly fun. We're not climbers. the crowd could see me, they would obviously know that I am not a rock climber. Tom Frost likes to kid us that we're obvious Flatlanders, so we named our company Flatlander Films. If anyone wants to check us out, it's flatlanderfilms.com. And so we've been working on this passion project for 5 years. Almost every single famous rock climber on the planet has agreed to interview with us. And,
really?
And wow. Without, not one person's declined an interview.
That's great.
And everyone really adores this man, Tom Frost. And there's a number of reasons, and we can get into that, but I'm probably boring everybody.
So when was the first time somebody climbed it?
Well, this was 50 years ago, you know.
Had they tried before, or was it something that just wasn't done?
People thought that El Cap or any, you know, Half Dome, that they were all unclimbable. It was like going to the moon for these guys.
It's amazing how the mental game of saying nobody's ever done it before, I'm going to do it, and you do it, whatever it is, running the mile, you know, the 4 minute mile or whatever, and then how fast after them people end up doing those same things, because the mental game changes because they know they can. Somebody did it, they ought to be able to do it. Plus, somebody blazed a trail for them, right?
Right, right. Well, that's, you know, they say in every road we interview, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, and it's just a different era, you know. And the meme that I've gotten out of this story that has changed my life, this story has changed my life, and rock climbers in general, they believe that it's not getting to the top that matters. It's how you do it. It's the journey. It's the struggle. It's hardships. You know, it's the pleasure of comradeship and friendship and teamship up there. That's where the pure joy is, and I'm learning so much about that. You can apply that to life. And rock climbers in general are incredible environmentalists too. And so this story is going to touch on many different levels. And what I'm learning is, you know, even though they're kind of a quirky bunch and people think they're crazy, they're actually incredible stewards of nature and some of the smartest people I've ever met.
So you got nominated for an Emmy. What was that for?
Boy, we've been able to get involved with UCSF, the Children's Hospital and the regular hospital down here in Mission Bay. And a dear friend of mine who I play soccer with, actually, all good things come from soccer connections. She and I started working on little stories about patients for the web team. And we have an editor, Greg Janza, and my boss over there at UCSF is Kim Wong. And they just moved, actually, to Brisbane. The marketing folks just moved over there in Brisbane by the harbor.
Oh, yeah.
They changed their offices like 2 weeks ago.
Huh.
On our own, started producing these really great stories. We noticed within the marketing that it was all about the hospital. And it was kind of just a lot of, you know, voice of God, the hospital, and blah, blah, blah. So we decided to actually just focus on patient stories and kind of let the hospital shine in the background. And it's worked. We just kept trudging and kept building and continuing to build content. We started to get a little bit of notice here and a little bit of more recognition there. And next thing you know, they wanted us to recut our stories into commercials and run them on CBS. Those commercials just ran for the last 6 months to a year. And we got nominated for an Emmy, and we actually went up against the San Francisco Giants. We Are Giant campaign, another hospital, and then the San Jose Sharks had a really funny commercial, and they ended up winning. But boy, you know, it's just like another passion project that we just went and did ourselves, took a risk, poured our hearts into it, and the patients gave us everything, which, boy, I mean, it can't go wrong. And, you know, people call me the Oprah of directors because every time you watch one of our videos, you end up crying, you know. And like I said before at the beginning of this, you know, I have a voice now. And I guess I'm a lot more fulfilled because of that voice.
It's great when you can follow your passion.
Oh, man, yeah.
Because you can follow your passion, the money usually follows you. What will sustain you follows you. If you're truly passionate about what you do, you're going to be good at it.
Yeah. And I've really learned that through the rock climbing community about, you know, again, it's not about the dollar. It's how you do it. You know, it's to do the best you can to tell the story, right? And get it done right and pour your heart into it. And yeah, and we got a little little success here, which is cool.
Good. Good. I'm glad. So you're still in Dogpatch, your studio's in Dogpatch?
23 years. I started my studio when I was 25 years old.
Yeah. Are you for hire for anybody for any kind of corporate work or?
I love working. I do a lot of lifestyle still photography. I actually do some food for Michael and Jackie Ricciuti, the Ricciuti chocolate people who are legendary artists and chocolate folks.
Nice people too.
Oh, incredible people. We have a 20-year relationship working together.
Yeah, the last time I talked to that guy, he said, oh, we should get together and play drums, just like he plays at his house.
Oh, you should see his
office. I come over and play drums. And then nothing ever happened. So maybe I should go and sing him again.
We should definitely get together. You know, he's got like 4 different drum sets in his office, just at work. Yeah. Talk about someone who is following his passion. All the arts to motivate him for his artisan chocolates. I mean, it all is just coming out of him. But without his wife, let's just make this clear, there'd be no business. Otherwise, he'd just be making art.
Yeah. Man, what's good? That's
good,
great.
Good peeps.
What else we got? I think we got about covered what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
You got something else you're thinking about?
Not much. I just think it's really cool what you're doing. It's a lot of time and effort, and I appreciate
it's a learning curve.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear all the other stories about, you know, we all walk around here not really knowing each other.
Or you hear about somebody.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I know that guy. No, you don't really know it.
You don't
well, because you saw him on Facebook a couple times or a post about this or that, you kind of might get to know maybe a piece of some part of one day of somebody, but you don't really get the story. The reason why I started this, one reason, is to kind of make it more personal. I think real estate in general has become impersonal, and the kind of advertising and just some things to me just have on some level turned into just a big can of spam.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of tried to figure out what I could do to help the community and do something that was interesting and something that I would enjoy. So I made the challenge to myself to do 50 episodes, and that I would donate $100 per episode to a local charity and just kind of put it out there to whoever would, you know, match me, follow me, add to the bucket and see how much, you know, 20 people doing the same would raise $100,000 for local charities, which there's quite a few. There's quite a few local charities doing good work.
Well, I had no idea that was a component. Count me in to, you know, I'll throw down for our piece here. That'd be great.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for doing this. This is cool. So, everybody, come on over. It's actually a lot of fun. So thanks, Ron.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you came in. Thank you. I'm proud and glad to be your friend.
Well, thank you.
For as long as we have been. And I look forward to many more years.
That sounds great, Ron. Thanks. Cheers, man.
All right.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Coffee to Close. Coffee to Close is a fundraiser for our local nonprofits and charities in Brisbane. And I will be donating $100 per episode to one of the charities or nonprofits in town. Coffee to Close is also sponsored by Davis & Company Real Estate. You can find us at rondavis.com and Madhouse Coffee, which is madhousecoffee.com. Both are located in Uptown Brisbane at the top of the main business district on Visitation Avenue at 400 Visitation. Come pay us a visit. We'd love to see you.